How did we get from heaven? How did we get there? Because we were born again. Born again, regenerated. Born anothen in Greek, which means from above, from thence, from another place. So though you have a natural birth, that birth will lead to death because of sin. Now you have a new birth, a new generation. You're part of a new generation. A perfect generation, a holy generation, a righteous generation, by faith, active in love, by faith, a living faith, by a faith which is not just faith in what he did, but in his ongoing perfecting work. It's a process. So salvation is a procedure or a process by which Jesus said, I am the way. So what is the way to Father's house? It's not just a door. It's not just a gate. It's not just an opening. It's a process by which you travel along a certain road until maturity. And that road has been designed perfectly by God so that you suffer along that road. Could I hear an amen?
Amen.
So the exciting thing about that road is you get to die. That's exciting. Is that not exciting? Amen. Woohoo! Now, I probably need to explain that. So the death is the one we just took in the communion. The death is not that you physically die, but that you psychologically lay down your control of your own life. In other words, you're no longer in charge. You turn your life over to Jesus when you're born again, and that's what God originally intended when he created earth and then created you and me, was that we would be submissive to his will, as in heaven, so on earth. As it is in heaven, everyone does what God wants. So on earth, let everyone do what God wants. Well, everyone's not going to do that because God gave us liberty. So some have chosen to follow another way, to go their own way. Not to be children, but bastards, to be those that are not legitimate. I was born that way physically. I was born as a bastard and had no legal standing. Today, they don't do it that way. But when I was born in 1940, you did not exist, and you had no legal existence. You could not inherit. And so I had nothing. I was nobody, going nowhere. By the time I was four, they gave me a birth certificate. And then I got another one and another one because they kept changing my name. So it's good to be roughed up a bit. You learn to survive. You don't have any quality of life, but you learn to stay alive. Who am I? Do y'all know who you are? Well, many, 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 many years later, I got born again.
Amen.
And this time I have a good birth certificate. And my Father, which is in heaven, loves me, and I love him. I had three fathers, so I never could quite figure out who was really my dad. They each swore that I was their son and so on and so forth. So take a DNA, but I didn't want to. Just leave it be. My mom told me, I trusted my mom. That's not your father. That's not your father. That one was your father. That was a one-night stand with some Jimmy Hoffa guy. I love that. Don't you love having a ridiculous background? I mean, you can laugh. Why? Because God is good. God is great. And when you're born again, it's really not part of this world. Not part of this natural world, not part of this cultural world, nothing to do with this world. You are now a child of the living God. That's powerful. And you have all the promises and all the power and all the authority and all the majesty of heaven on your side. Your sins are gone. What happened to your sins? Jesus died for them 2,000 years ago. They're gone. God no longer can look at my sin and exclude me from the kingdom of heaven. He's told me, you're a new creation now. Wow, me? I didn't do anything good. Well, no, that's it was a freebie. It was something I just gave you for free. Wow. You got any more? No, you just need one. And so I'll take two, just in case. How many know that God is so good that he's thought of everything? And you know what he mostly thinks of? You. The minute he created this creation, everything was created for you. Everything. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're all for you. For you, for you, for you. That's amazing. What can I do to inherit that? Nothing. Could I help out a little bit? No. Oh, cool. Well, how am I sure I'm going to get it? Believe. You mean just the Bible? Yeah. Well, what if I don't? You're in trouble. Okay, I knew there was a catch to it. So I got to believe. No. Faith cometh by hearing. Ah, so all I got to do is read the thing and maybe it'll come alive, maybe it won't, right? Right. Oh, cool. So guess what? One day in my life, I was sinning all the way to heaven. And all of a sudden, I realized there was a God. Did you know you could be called a Christian and not be a Christian? I was a pastor, and I wasn't a Christian. I knew I wasn't. Never thought I was. I always knew I was just going through the motions, but people didn't catch me. They didn't know I would baptize their babies, and confirm their young people, and marry them later, and help them to divorce and everything else, and so on and so forth. I don't do that anymore. From now on, if you're married, you're staying that way, or you're going to hell, period. Because we have a different idea. And then I buried them. So as long as you did that, they paid you. And just 1 hour's work. That's not bad. 1 hour a week and you got paid. That's amazing. I loved my job. Eric remembers he was there. David actually was there. David was 11 at that time. So he's a little older now. And it was great being a pastor who didn't believe in God. But one day I decided, I better tell him. I better explain to him that I'm not a Christian. And I'll have a list of churches they can go to where they can get a phony person to tell them they're okay. I didn't want to say that. I knew I was not okay. If the Bible was true, I was not. I was finished. I was in trouble. But I, even though I was a minister, I just told you it was an easy job. In case you can't do anything else, be a minister. You know, it's an easy job. Then you got paid for it. I'm not joking. That's the way I looked at it. And so I was smart as a whip. I knew a lot, but I didn't have any heart in anything that I did. Not in my marriage, not in anything. I just did what I wanted. It was only me. As far as I was concerned, it was only me. Has anybody else been like that? I was always took care of me. That's all I ever wanted was just me. I wanted to be worshipped, adored, loved, appreciated, people to gasp when I walked in, stuff like that. Other than that, I was a humble person. But I'm not into much lying. And so since I was lying, I mean, I could tell lies. But I didn't lie to myself. I knew that I didn't believe in God and I didn't believe in parents. I didn't believe in anything. And so, therefore, I was called lawless. And I had no guilt ever about anything that I did or said or thought. Never. I had no guilt. I had no morals. I had no religion. And here I was a pastor. Did you know that they can let pastors in like that? Most of the pastors that I knew, were phony and fake and liars and just pretending. They did weird stuff. Anyway, I just decided, you know, I probably should find out if there really is a God or not, because it could make a difference, especially if I keel over one of these days. How many know you should get that settled before you die? So I just decided, you know, I'm going to look into it. So here's the sermon today. Oh, by the way, I became a Christian. But when I did, it was 100% immediate, absolute change, because it was a new creation. And I believed that what God wrote down in the Bible, faith cometh by hearing, I believed every word that was in that Bible. Now, I knew what was in the Bible, head knowledge. I knew about God. I knew about religion, but I didn't know him intimately. I didn't love him with my heart or my soul. I just simply understood what was said. And I had no interest in knowing him. I had no interest to be a Christian because I liked doing my own thing. Is anybody else like that? You know, I just wanted everything to go my way. I think Frank Sinatra was probably my song leader. And so I didn't want to serve other people. I didn't want to worship God. Didn't want to give my money to God. I was stingy, wanted to keep it all. And so that's a bad person. How many know that's a bad person? But I thought it was okay. And I had a knack of being able to justify anything I did, just to myself. None of anybody else's business, but to myself, I could justify it. And but I read in there that it said you should be born again, have eternal life, and all that. And that I was a minister, I had to preach that every week, but I didn't believe a thing I was preaching. I had no heart connection to God. One day I was driving along 820, and that's the circle that goes around Fort Worth. And I was going south toward Hewland area. And as I was turning the corner, I remember saying to God, God, if you're up there, of course I don't believe in you, but if you're up there, I'd give my life to you. I mean, after all, it is my job. But I'd give my life to you if you'd stick your hand out real quick so no one else sees it, just because there were a lot of clouds in the sky that day. Just stick them out like that. I'll just look right here. How many know that is bad theology? And that, for some reason, he didn't take me up on the deal at all. But I was willing to serve him if he would, you know, I didn't want the faith thing where you just believe because the Bible said it. I wanted to have a real experience, like miraculous. Just do it real fast, and I'll be looking here. Go ahead, go. You know, so, and he didn't do it. So that was disappointing. How many know that you can be yourself with God? He knows what you're thinking anyway. So why hide? If he's real, he knows. If he's not real, who cares? And so I didn't. At any rate, when I became a believer, I fell in love. First time. And not only with God, but with people. I loved even my enemies. Even people that hated me and despised me and tried to use me and so on. I just fell in love. Peace came into my heart that I never had before. And I wasn't trying to behave or I wasn't trying to clean up. I just was believing that God was everything he said he was. Did you know that God is a loving Father? And that he loves you and me while you're yet a sinner. In fact, you have to be a sinner. That's one of the things, is you have to be a sinner. How many started out as a sinner? I mean, from the womb, I can't say, but at least from birth, you started out, you know, complaining and griping, and right away, it's cold, you know, and so on and so forth. And since my mother had tried to abort me so many times during my 9 months of safety, and she tried to do that because grandmother said, he will ruin your life. You're a young girl. It was a one-night stand. Don't keep this baby. He'll ruin your life. You have a career, and you could go somewhere. And my mother had gone to 17 high schools, 17 in Chicago. And she was top, top, top. So in 3 years, she finished high school, 17 high schools in 3 years. So she was pretty smart, sharp. And but she had this silly idea of messing around, and she liked dancing. She was a big dancer. And so she liked going out with men. I don't know, there's a problem with men. There's a problem. And that problem happened, and I was the problem. I became the problem. So grandmother suggested, you know, just get rid of him. You know, it wasn't done in those days. It wasn't like today, you know, where it's lawful. In those days, it was not lawful. And as I said, I was completely illegitimate. They would say that. And there was no doctor either. I mean, it was just on a table one-car garage. That was my house. And, you know, no electricity, no nothing in there. So that's a rough way to get into the world, but how many know that you ain't saying anything yet because the world is a rough place? So you might as well beat out those 200 million other sperm to get to the egg so that you're the guy on top. At least one race you win. So everybody that's alive, you won that first race. So I started out, you know, with 200 million other little guys from the Father and so on and so forth. Now, he never knew that I was born, so I didn't meet him till Peggy knows what time, but later. Peggy, where are you? Where's Peggy? Oh, there you are. What question? I'm so old now, I can't remember what I just asked. What did I just ask? I rely on Peggy. Don't you dare die. So anyway. Yeah, okay. So whatever I was. It was a long time before I met my first father, my biological father. Then I went out. That was in Florida. Then I went out to California, met my second father. He only stayed a couple of years because my mom was, you know, she didn't like him. But my mom was a bad picker. Then she picked the third one, and I called him Adolf Hitler. But anyway, he was hard to live with because he wanted to put me under the law. He wanted to put me under discipline. You know, so I'd always been wild. Yeah, my mom worked, so I never had a mother watching me or anyone watching me. I was just on my own. So that's a great way to grow up. I loved it. I loved being my own God, my own person, decide what I could do, when I could do it, how I could do it. Does anybody else have any kind of similar-ish thing? Yeah. So that's how you grow up smart. You grow up smart because you got to remember what lie you made last time so you don't repeat it. And so I could remember all my lies. And as we went through school, I cheated, lied, stole, did everything you do just to get through because you're born in poverty, you're born in no hope, and so on and so forth. And then I made it to the top. I had a Harvard scholarship, Yale scholarship, New York scholarship, Heidelberg, Germany scholarship, Aberdeen, Scotland scholarship. I could go anywhere in the world because I'd cheated. And so, I mean, if people can bluff their way through life, they can bluff your way through life. But at a certain point, you're going to get caught. And I sensed that. And then later, I became a Christian, so it was okay after I was a pastor. There are a lot of pastors that are really not Christians. And they're liars, phony, fake, hypocritical, legalistic, etc. Not really in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm totally in love. I am totally in love, always happy, always. Even in my dreams. I'm always smiling. I'm always happy. Why? As I have a living relationship with the living God, just like in the Bible. Just exactly as it is in the Bible. You ask, you receive. Now, but you have to be sold out. If you're monkeying around with it, it's not going to work. So when you go all the way, and most people don't, when you go all the way, then actually God protects you. You're his investment. You're what he was looking for. How many know you don't deserve it? But if you just say, I believe you're good, God, he loves that. I know I'm not good, but I believe you are good. And he counts that for righteousness. He said, that's what I'm looking for. I said, really? I didn't do anything good. I never did anything good. Oh, that's what I'm looking for. How many know if you do anything good, you're a legalist. You're a moralist. You did it. But it's a gift. He likes to just give to people that don't deserve anything, like me. He likes to give to people that are no good. I had no good. Did you know the Bible says you're no good? Do you know the Bible says, only God is good. God is good. Only God is good. And then to make it clear, no one else is good but God. Jesus said that. So, wow, that fits me. I'm definitely not good. Do you know anybody like that? Usually other people around us we can recognize right away, they're no good. I mean, I'm basically good. I don't always do good, but I'm basically good. A lot of people think that. You're not basically good. You are basically evil. You're born that way, and you just continue until you're dead. So the quicker you get dead, the better. So what's your goal? To get the Father's house, you have to go through not only being born again, but also then going through the fire, the affliction, the pain, the suffering, the discipleship, the correction, and all of that. And then, along that road, and then after that, your self dies, meaning, not physical, meaning you no longer rely on yourself. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God. It's easy when you're in love. When you're in love, you're in love, you're in love. And so once you fall in love, you don't have any other gods. Once I met Peggy, I knew she's it. That's it. That's it. Now, my behavior didn't always look that way, but my heart, that's it. That's it. I'm going all the way. And so once you do that, there's no you anymore. And I found that when I got married, I thought I was going to be the boss. I knew I was going to be the boss. I just, whether she liked it or not, I was going to be the boss. But the minute, two hours later after we were married, in the backyard of her champagne yard, we were all drinking champagne. Peggy was, she only needs one glass and she's out. Anyway, I tried talking to her. Peg, it's 5 hours to the hills, mountains of Vermont from where we are right here. We need to be going. Now, being the boss, I thought that would do it. She just smiled at me, took a sip of champagne. Off she went. Never responded to me at all. It was just as though I didn't exist. Am I not the husband? Am I not the head? I mean, I didn't know much about the Bible, but I knew that was in there, that boss part. I want to be the head. And I wished I had married an Oriental. You know, one that handed you your slippers. No, don't do it. Yeah. Okay, you're right. I'm going to change my mind now. Anyway, I was thinking, you know, the thing where the wife brings the slippers and has the bacon cooking in the background and wakes you up. Sir, master, the breakfast is ready. You know, I had that illusion. I had that illusion. But it was quickly dispelled. Quickly, I realized, she's never going to submit to me like that. Now, I pray that there's somebody else here that found, you know, someone that would just totally submit. I knew it said in the Bible, wives, submit to your husbands. I had memorized that verse. Oh, glory. For the husband is the head of the wife. I just love that. Later, I realized that it didn't mean what it said. I learned that reading it in English didn't help. It really meant serve. Well, how does that mean head? Because Jesus said, I am among you as one who, you know, serves, not among you as one to be served. You know, in other words, we could have all served him. It was easy. We all sinned and he easily could have just wiped us out. But he said, no, I'm here to serve. And that's what God wanted me to do, is serve Peggy. No way. No way. No way. I'm not doing it. No. So I ain't going to do that. I'm not letting any woman do that. No. How many know that men lose? And so, you know, she was not. Anyway, I spoke to her a second time, Peg. It's getting later and later. And she didn't say anything again and just walked away, you know. It's just, you know, like she heard my words, but I didn't exist. Is there any other husbands like me? No, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. And so the third time I got really angry. Peg, now. I want to go now. I'm communicating. How many know this is communication? Just want to be clear. And then I realized right there, you know what? I'm never going to be the head of this woman. Never. She's never going to do what I want. She is going to take her own time. Do y'all see that? Did y'all see that? So there I was. What do you do now? I'm not telling. But I'm happy. Totally happy. Perfect decision. Once you make a decision, you make it. Y'all see that? Now, nobody in my family ever stayed married, so I had lots of opportunity to do psych, some do. Nope. Once you make your bed, you lie in it. Once you make your decision, that's it. So I had to think about it all the way to Vermont. What am I going to do now? I'm marrying a woman that was never going to submit to me. Whatever that Bible means, it doesn't mean it. I didn't know what it meant, but I knew I was not the boss. And so has anyone else ever discovered that life isn't exactly what you thought when you were a little kid? It's a lot different. So Jesus has come along with this good news message of come follow me. And what he means is come and die. Come and die. In other words, you believe in me that I'm good. You believe that I died for you, died for all your sins, forgave you all your sins, that I call you my beloved. Now trust me and follow me the way I go. I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Come follow me. And he goes right through the fire. And I go, I ain't going there. No, come on, Jim. I'm not going to force you. Just come follow me. You're a pastor. I don't care. I ain't doing it. Just come ahead. It won't kill you. It'll just kill the flesh part of you. That's a good offer. Is that not a good offer? But for some reason, I wasn't sure what that meant because it seemed like going through a fire would kind of burn up the flesh. And whatever the spirit would come out on the other end, it was supposed to be good. It's going to be good. I mean, if you run your own life, you need to get that burned off. I had to learn that day one. You are not running anybody's show. Peggy's not going to submit to you. She's just going to be herself no matter what. So for better, for worse, those words meant something all of a sudden. Oh, I see. So I'm not the boss. Gee, I don't know what I'm doing here. I was planning on that. How many have had some of your dreams dashed? And so God was saying, okay, Jim, now you're born again. You're mine. Oh, good. I'll forgive all your sins. Yahoo! But now I want you to submit to me as not Savior, but as Lord. So let's move from Savior saving you to Lord lording you. How many know that's a little more difficult? Because he wanted to correct me. He believed there were some things wrong in my life. Not just that he forgave me for my sins, he wanted to get rid of them. It's like, could I keep my favorite three? So does anyone here have favorite sins? It kind of, you're addicted to them. I mean, you like them. And especially if something goes wrong, you kind of default to those sins, And so I had a bunch of sins. I was willing to give up a few, not too many, but some superficial ones. Yeah, I was willing to give those up to be a pastor. But I wanted to keep some of my favorites. How many have a few favorite sins like self-pity or anger or, unforgiveness or judgmentalism? How many have some of those? They're kind of, just in case you need them, even though he forgave them, hey, as long as he forgave them and I'm the beneficiary, sit over here. I'll move across this aisle. Here, I was okay. Jesus loved me no matter what. I like that idea. So this was kind of like a lazy boy chair. Kind of just sit back and relax and everything is passive. God does everything, takes care of you. That was what I was thinking. That's a good deal. That was good news. He loved me just as I am. Just as I am without one plea. I love that. That was a great song. But then he said, come follow me. What's that? What's that mean? You're going to learn about me and you'll learn more about me. You're a little baby now. You're just a new Christian. But I'm going to teach you through this fire here and through this baptism of fire and through suffering and through teaching and instruction and so on and kill off your old man. Oh, what could I could wait. Could we wait on that? I got to think about that. I mean, it was easy to be Jesus' Savior, but it was a little more difficult Jesus says, Lord, wanted to kill my old man, my old self, my old me. He didn't want Jim to rule anymore. Man, that was all I was good at. I was just good at ruling myself. I was highly disciplined in that. I never forgot. Is it for me? Is it for my benefit? That's good. If it's not, I'm going to lie, cheat, and steal whatever I have to do. I don't want that. That's how I stayed alive. But God said, no, I want you to come through here. And so this is the part that killeth off your old man. How many know that your sinful self is not a good self? Because God wants you to live in heaven where everything is happy and so on and so forth. But that's on the other side of that fire. So over here, happy means I can sin all I want and then still go to heaven. But here it meant go through the fire and get your old self, you know, completely destroyed, and then give Peggy all your love and give me all your worship. I never thought of that. I don't know if I like that idea. I don't want to live for other people. I want other people to live for me. So go back to chair one. Oh, okay, all right. So I go back here. He said, when you want to go through this fire, and then I'll finish you off. This is a little child, this is a young man, and this is a mature adult. Here's what I'm looking for. These are the ones I'm taking to heaven. This is what you do. This is what you want. And this is what you are by faith. So here's a believer, here's a disciple, and then here is a mature father, mother, adult, Christ-like, led by the Spirit, filled with love, not in the world to come, this world, right now, today. That's the death. Right there, this has to be dead. If I still love myself, I can't love others. I can love myself, but I have to love others as I love myself. Do y'all see that? In other words, I have to care for others as much as I do for myself. Well, I know how much I cared for myself. And so it said, husbands, love your wives as you love your own bodies. Well, I know I'm taking care of my body, and I want to take care of that. Sleep and eat and exercise, whatever I'm doing. I want to take care of my body. Well, that's how to take care of your wife that way. Can I do me first? Sorry, Peg, there's nothing left over. I took care of me. Y'all don't think this is fun. This is fun. You're too religious. You're too religious. I'll tell you why. Because God wants you dead. Where you just, whatever God says, that's the way it is. So I knew this lordship thing, and I was going to hold off on that. God, could I hold off? And for 6 months, I held off on the lordship thing. I did believe in Jesus. I knew that I knew that I knew that there was a God. He loved me. I believed. But now he wanted me to be submitted to his lordship, his majesty. He wanted me to live for his glory. That would be the death of me. That would be the death of me. Where's Jim? Where's me? You know, that's a big deal. How many know that? How many know that it's a big deal to give up yourself? And voluntarily and happily. And so you got to be his man, totally, to do whatever he wants, when he wants, how he wants, whatever. And where's me? I don't get to make any decisions anymore. The minute you become a Christian, you actually give up your right to make your own decisions. Unless you just stay here. Here is the lazy boy. Here is the electric chair. And over here is the bridal throne. Now, I wasn't sure that I wanted to go that far. Some of you are not, I can tell you, you're not having fun on this. I think this is awesome. Because this is my job as pastor to get you from here to here so that then you can live here. I want you all to be mature. I don't want to lose one. Remember Jesus said, I lost not one. As a pastor, when you go into the pearly gates and you're standing before Jesus, or God the Father, and he's judging you, I want you all to answer correctly. Get an A+. And I know the answer is going to be, who was your pastor? And you'll say, Pastor Jim Borchert. And what did you think? He was awesome. He was just so faithful. And that'll, of course, agree with God. God will agree with that. How many know that I barely know what I'm talking about? I don't know what I'm talking about. How many know that God will choose anybody? He's not a respecter of persons. He'd just choose anybody. And here I was, totally disqualified for what I was doing. How many know when God calls you, you're never qualified? He actually calls people sinners and then wants to turn them into saints, not just by faith, not just, you know, wanting to be a Christian but not being one. He wants you to be a doer of the word. That actually living for God and living for others, worshiping God, serving your neighbor, even your enemies, dead completely to this world. That's what death means. So death is exciting. Now, anyone want to testify? Pastor, that's me. You just described me. Does anyone want to? Anyone want to do it? Amen. James, is that happening to you? Are you perfect?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. That's accurate. That's accurate. I'll testify to that. It's accurate. You're not perfect. But are you on the way? Are you in a process, a path, a way? I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. Well, so he's everything you need. So he wants to lead us until you are no longer ruling. Or let me put it this way. I am actually the head of the house. And I do rule. But the way I rule is a leader is a servant. A leader is not a dictator over somebody else, which is what I thought. A leader is actually a servant. And the more he said that you love your wife as Christ loved the church, the more you're taking care of yourself. In other words, if you lose your life, you'll find it. If you keep your life, you'll lose it. And that, even though that doesn't make any sense to your brain, it makes total sense. That once you become a leader, you have to be a servant to do that. You have to be a shepherd before you're a king. Because God wants servant leaders, whether it's a husband or whether it's a wife or whether it's a mother or a father, whatever you're in, president, you know, emperor of the world, who cares? You have to be a servant. And everything has to go for the benefit. Not of the master, but of the beneficiary, which is the daughter or the son or mankind or whatever it is. Well, now that's my dream. That's my goal. That's my vision. That's my purpose. I don't want for me anymore. Why? Jesus Christ has already taken care of me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. So let Jesus take care of it. Why? Because he's good at that. Jesus is a servant to me. And he first of all, forgave me before changing me. And then he said, Jim, I know you won't change, but just trust me. Take my hand. Let's go through this thing together until you're dead. And then I'll be right with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. And then finally, you'll be free. And when you lose everything and you're no longer in charge, you're no longer reigning, you're no longer, you know, Jim the Great. How many know when you're a junior high student, you write that on your notebook? Alice the Beautiful. You know, so young people express that so openly when they're in seventh and eighth grade, you know. And I imagine myself being a great basketball player. Well, guess what? I wasn't. But when you're young like that, you don't know what you're going to grow up to be. You don't know how anything. You don't know anything. And so I tried push-ups, but I got tired. And so I turned out not to be much of anything. And then I found out, you know, I had a brain in my head, so I decided I'll work that to the hilt. How many know that if you have a winning stroke, keep it? So I tried to figure out, what assets do I have? You know, I don't really have anything going for me. But my lying helped me a lot, because when you lie, you have to remember which was your last lie. So I had to have enough of a brain to figure out how to cheat people. And I found out I was good. And I got the highest top grades once I started to be serious about going to school. A++. And I realized, you know, that criminal stuff worked out good. I mean, no, God can take anything and turn it into something good. He can just correct it a little bit, just break it a little bit, and then adjust it to himself. You're not to be your own person. You're to be a servant of the living God. And that's how you get the Father's house. The way you get is you get born again. Then that's born of the Spirit. Now you get filled with the Spirit, emptied of yourself. And now you get led by the Spirit. So now I'm walking in love. Why? Because there's nothing, after he killed me here, there's nothing left but Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the way that you become a Christian is to give up everything. Lord, I don't have any agenda. I don't have any words. I don't have any deeds. I don't have anything of myself. I'll just do your will. Thy will be done. Heaven on earth. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. So God takes care of all your needs. He supplies all your needs. And what else? Forgive us our trespasses, not somebody else, our trespasses, even as we forgive others. I need to forgive others as you have forgiven me. And then what? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. Well, that's powerful. So that is now your purpose. How many have already arrived? How many have already arrived? How many are working on it? You're going through the flame. You're going through the fire. You're saying, ouch, hallelujah, ouch, hallelujah. You know, ow, it's too hot. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But you'll get to a point later when you realize, you know what? You're just throwing off cancer. You're just throwing off something you don't need. You're not losing anything. When your flesh dies, you're still all right. As a matter of fact, you're now purified. You're now sanctified. This is justified. This is sanctified. This is glorified. So here is the glory for which you were created in the first place. God wanted everyone on earth to bow the knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, how many know God's going to get his way? It doesn't look like it today. It looks like God's going to lose, but actually God's going to win. He loves that. He loves when you judge by appearance rather than with right judgment. How do we know? Well, you can try him out on a daily basis to see what happens if you give up everything, if you surrender. I surrender all. How many have surrendered everything? Okay. That doesn't mean you're behaving perfectly, but at least you've started to say, God, I'm going to trust you in this. I'm going to trust you in this. I'm going to trust you in this. And after a while, you just go trust God in everything. I'm not going to make my own decisions. And over the years, I have realized, wow, I should have done this a long time ago. How many have realized you don't need to be in charge? You will ruin anything you rule over. You'll ruin it because you don't know what you're doing. And so rebellion gets you nowhere. So when God says, I love you as you are, but I'm going to change you, but I won't do it with force. You have to agree to it. If you don't consent, I won't take you any further. But if you agree to it and trust me, so he's not saying obey me, he's saying trust me, then you'll obey. So here I believe, here I trust him. I want to do his will, and here I actually do it. When men see your good works, they will glorify your Father in heaven. That's amazing. I mean, no, this is the goal. This is not the goal. That's the way. That's the beginning. There's the beginning. There's the middle. There's the end. So every man mature in Christ, every single person, every single person. If I could just get David, oh, man, that would be awesome. If I could just get David. But if I bog down with David, I'd probably not get to anybody else. So I better start with somebody easy. Who wants to be mature the most? Ah, quite a few right there in the back. Not as many as I was hoping. Who wants to be totally sold out for God? Go all the way. Put your hand to the plow and don't turn back. That's what God wants. Now, you don't do it anyway. He's the one that gave you new birth. He's the one that takes you, but he takes care of you, stays right with you. He said, I'll do it. You don't have to do it. But I want you to consent to it because I can't do it without your approval. So I just want you to agree when I take you through this. So just pray something like this. God, whatever it takes, you know how stubborn I am. Don't ease up on me. Full fire. Turn the heat up. How many have prayed that way? Because God actually will answer that. I don't know why. He loves that prayer. God, whatever it takes. You know me. I'm totally ready for it. Because I want to hear these words. Well done. Now, this is not well done here. This is well willed. This is not well believed. This is well done over here. Well done. I like my hamburgers well done. you know, whenever they ask. Well, I want my lamb to be well done. Make sure I don't get any of those things you're not supposed to get in case it isn't. I mean, you know that that's a lot of diseases come out of things that aren't well done. So, I mean, cook it too, you know, really a lot. Because I want to kill everything that might kill me. So God wants to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Are you having a good time in this world? Do you realize that every step you take is ordered by the Lord? Do you realize everything that happens to you is completely under God's control? Do you realize that the devil has never done anything, can do anything, ever has any power over you whatsoever, unless you give it to him? So that's your own decision. Now, the devil's always happy to accommodate, but the devil wants to destroy you. He wants to make you miserable and unhappy. And he'll promise you things that he'll never deliver. So I fell for that. I fell for a lot of things. And I realized, you know, the devil, he's a liar. And God says he's a liar from the beginning. He's always been a liar. And so he's always trying to get me to save myself, take care of myself. God doesn't want me to save myself. He wants to take care of me. He thinks he knows more about me than I do. How many know I'm me? I must know what's good for me. How many know you do not know what's good for you? Nor do you know the right way, because I would not go through the fire. If it was my way, I'd go through the comfort zone thing. You know, I want asbestos all over me. I don't want to go right through the fire. I didn't want to give up my sins. How many know that God wants you to give up all your sins, no longer run your life? No more fear. No more anger, no more jealousy, no more bitterness, no more complaining. You know, none of the sins that characterize so many Christians. Because I don't know what's going to happen to these two groups here. All I know is this is the one he's after. This is the one he wants. So happy is the man, what? Who trusts in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Is that just a goal or is that actual? It's actual. He actually wants to do that in this world. So who will be first? Who will be the first one? There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Well, it's good. Praise God. All right. So the rest of you go to hell. But this is a group. I'm going to work with that group. That's the group I want to work with because I want to get a good grade when I get there. Well, Jim, how did you do? Excellent. Look at these people here. They all love Jesus. Where's the rest of the people you had? I don't know. they were no good. The people you gave me were no good. They didn't listen. How many know God will probably not accept that excuse? So if something's wrong with you, it's my responsibility. Did you all see that? If something's wrong, if you don't grow, if you don't hear the truth, if I lie to you or deceive you or trick you, as I used to know how to do, If that happens, it's my responsibility. So God wants to make sure that everybody, and I pray that for you, I pray that everybody here not only is born again, justified, not only is filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Holy Ghost and with fire, sanctified, but also is glorified so that you walk in love, led by the Holy Spirit, and actually are truly lovers of all men. Including Al-Qaeda, including whoever the bad guys are. The worst bad guy is you. You get this one burned up, you'll do a lot better over there. If you don't get this one burned up over there, it's not going to be good. Here's what's wrong in Israel. Israel is still under the law. And they believe, the Orthodox at any rate, believe that religion should be tied to force. In other words, you should force people, compel people to believe and do what's right. That's why it's called Orthodox. So when you join religion with power or with coercion or with manipulation or with trickery like that, that violently forces you to go through the fire, you believe what's right or we're going to do this to you. That's evil. That is not God. God has never done that. This is a free gift. This is a free gift. This is a free gift. These are all gifts of God. You don't have to take them. You don't have to do it. Faith cometh by hearing. If you hear and you believe, you hear and believe. You can't make yourself believe. You cannot say, I'm going to believe something I don't believe. You can't do it. You either do or you don't. You're either in love with him or you're not. You're either walking in the way or you're not walking in the way. That's all there's to it. It's black and white. There's no grays. Now, everything in this world is gray because people don't like to face the truth. But it's only the truth that'll set you free. And as for me and my house, we're going to follow the Lord. Amen? Now, is there anyone here who's moved today to say, I'm ready, I want to go all the way with God. I don't want to be found, depart from me or go to my left hand or something. I want to go to the right hand. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. And by the way, you have to be happy all along the way. You do. You have to be happy the whole time. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-a, my oh my, what a wonderful day. You know, and if you don't have a good time, you didn't hear what the Bible said. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I will say rejoice. Even when you're not doing the right thing, rejoice. That's how you get convicted. You're pretending like when you sin and you feel bad that makes a difference. Nuh-uh. When you sin, you're happy that you're sinning. Your flesh is pleased that you're judging and criticizing other people. Did you know that? When you're looking down on, despising people that are obnoxious and worthless and no good, you're actually not in line with God. And so he doesn't want that. He wants you to live in this world as a light. That your love and the unconditional love of God goes out to every human being. They all have their natural dignity, value, and worth. He wants you to be so happy in this world just as it is. Not fixed up. Just as it is. And it's not nice. He said in the world you have trouble. He's under no illusions. In the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Wow. So come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Go through this teaching discipline path that I have for you. And what? What? What happens if you do it? Take my yoke, learn of me, for I'm gentle, lowly of heart. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You enter into his rest. He wants you dead, no longer working, Shabbat Shalom. He wants you to be completely at peace because you're lined up with God's purpose. He did not create you perfect. He did not create you. Well, he created you perfect, but he gave you free choice. Ah. And then if you chose wrong, then there's a consequence. So you chose wrong. How many know all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Everybody chose wrong. Everybody chose wrong. All the sons of Adam have chosen wrong. So Jesus came along as the one guy that chose right. And he's the one that said, Jim, now listen to me. Don't listen to Adam and all his seed. Listen to me. Don't listen to yourself. Listen to me. I paid for all that. Wow. If you believe that, that Jesus died on the cross for you, that Jesus rose from the dead for you, that Jesus now reigns and rules for you. Everything has been for you. God is for you. Jesus is for you. Holy Ghost is for you. There is no one else. If God be for you, who can be against you? Well, if you learn that later, it won't work. You need to learn it right now. You need to learn it right now, today, right now. Start loving. Start right away. God, I don't know what I'm doing. Burn up all my sin. Purify my self here so that I don't have any self left. I want to be completely happy all the time from now on. How many are ready to be happy all the time? Now, you know, little kids love it when their parents are happy. They don't like it when their parents argue and yell and so on. They don't like that. They feel nervous. So little kids are smarter than we are. Little kids are smart. They know right away when they hear people arguing and yelling, they don't know what to do, and their eyes get big as saucers. They're just like, whoa, what's going to happen? And so they don't do well under laws. Have you ever noticed that about kids? They don't do well under laws. They don't like laws. They don't like people telling them what to do. And they're rebellious that way. But you know what? God loves that little child. And a good parent does too. I remember when Peggy cheated. Did you know that Peggy is not as nice as you think? One day we had this Easter celebration, And we had hidden eggs all over and had all the little kids there. And Kara, our oldest one, who's now old, I don't know what she is, whatever she is, she's big. And she has 8 kids, so she's pretty old. Anyway, she was just a little girl, I remember. And all the kids had little baskets, and they all had to go and pick up eggs, and whoever got the most eggs got a big prize. And so Peggy is there. She's never sinned in her life. Peggy is just wonderful. But she was in there going like this. And she was telling her where there was. Peg, what are you doing? I'm the minister. You're the minister's wife. You cannot do that. Peg totally ignored me, just as on the first day of marriage. She just totally ignored me, and she just kept doing it until she got them all. And she had her ways of, you know, she had all kinds of signals that she could give. And Kara's just looking over, you know, get the next signal. And she collected them right away. She had all the eggs, you know, and so the other kids were like, yay, you know. Peggy cheated. That's cheating. She sinned. I love it. You know why? God does that. God loves you so much, he wants you to win no matter what. And he'll bend everything and twist everything until you get the blessing. He doesn't want anyone. God desires not the death of anyone. He wants everyone to live a full and abundant life here, now. You're not a victim. You're not a victim. Jesus was a victim, but he didn't count it. You're a culprit. When you aren't rejoicing at all times, worshiping God and loving your neighbor. Amen? So that's what God wants for you. That's my job, to get you there. And I don't know how I'm doing. I wish I had better people. I wish I had better material to work with, you know. But I have a feeling you're kind of like me, stubborn and stiff-necked, kind of like the Jewish people. Did you know that we are all stubborn? We all want to go at our own pace and so on and so forth. That's okay. I just want you to know, I'm never going to force you. I'm never going to manipulate you or trick you. I don't care if you get there or you don't. That's your decision. You're totally free. Totally. I'm not going to stop loving or care that people come and go or do whatever they want. I found, as for me in my house, I want to go there. I want to go through all the fire, all the problems, all the troubles, just as it is, and I want to end up right here. Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Forever. I'm going to inherit all the stuff. Everything that's in Father's house, it's mine. It's mine to enjoy. I don't own it, but I can enjoy it. That's what God wants. Just to give everything he has, and he has everything. Everything he has is for me to enjoy. Nothing he's ever made was for him to enjoy. It was all for you. It was all for you. So, wouldn't it be great if in this world, right now, you all accepted Jesus Christ not only as your Savior, but also as your Lord, and finally also as your bridegroom? Those are the three things. Those are the three things. And the greatest, bridegroom. That's God's only desire, was not to save you. That wasn't his desire. Was not to perfect you and restore you. That's not his desire. His desire was that you would be a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. That's his only purpose. Now, how to get there? That one's not easy. That one's not easy. It's just like having a child. When they're born, they're sweet. They're nice. They don't even say anything, you know, no matter what. They just cry, but they don't really have any power. But when they get bigger, they say no. When they're bigger, they say, I don't want to. When they get bigger, they get stubborn. And you know what? That's part of the growth. That's part of the growth. You have to be a man before you can be a man of God. You have to be a woman before you can be... You have to be a real person. You have to rebel against God. You have to. Why? Because that's the way you chose. And that's the way it is. You cannot say, I'm going to be a perfect person. No, you're not. Everybody has already made their decision. Adam and Eve made it, and from then on, that's the way. Nobody's ever broken that pattern. So everybody that comes into this world comes in sinning. They come in to sin. They don't even know what it is, but they're already doing it. They want everything to go their way. They're not thinking at all of mom and dad. Mom and dad, how can I help you? I'm here, and I'm ready to serve. No baby's ever said that. So God has to train us and teach us against our wills until our will is broken. Every day, give up your will. Every day, surrender your will. Isn't this a wonderful message? This is such a beautiful message. I'm so glad you enjoyed it. Let's take a big offering right now, because this was a good message. All right, let's have a couple testimonies. All done. Yes, Eric.